Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
If I was the dean of a college and I had a theology teacher that said when the Lord took God's self somewhere, he would be fired immediately because that is not theology. And so I don't know what to tell you except for, you know, as you go through the Bible, every reference again to God is in the masculine. And so he's kicking against what the scripture says. And so small matters become big matters. And I can guarantee you that as you go through and look at some of the things that he's going to teach in other areas, it's going to be tweaked because he's taking his philosophy not from a biblical worldview, but from a worldly worldview. And you're going to have some issues there. If you are not well-versed in biblical theology, you don't know your Bible well, you're in danger at this point. And there's probably a number of concepts that he's put in your head that are probably unbiblical. And so you're getting the Holy Spirit alarm bells going off, and I think that's really good. Yeah. I think that's awesome. But there's probably a number of issues that he's already talked about that are problematic, and they need to, you know, I don't want marriage counseling from somebody who's been divorced three times. You know, it's like, that's not what I want. And I don't want anger management counseling from a guy who can't hold it together. And I don't want theological teaching from a teacher who doesn't know theology. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your money at that point. And so, no, that's a big matter. That's a big matter. I took a world religions class when I was in college. It was a secular college, and the teacher was a non-Christian. And my teacher came up with stuff like this, and I routinely raised my hand and talked with her because I was witnessing to her and I was witnessing to the people who were in my class because they knew nothing about the Bible and Jesus and what scripture actually said. And I knew when I went into that class exactly what I was getting. I wasn't going to get a realistic assessment of what Christianity was about. When you're going to a Christian college and you're taking a theology class, that's what you're looking for. You're looking for a realistic assessment of what Christianity is about and what theology is about. And so if you're unfaithful in what's little, you'll also be unfaithful in what is much, Jesus said. And if you're faithful in what's little, you're also going to be faithful in the larger things. Again, is what he said. So the small matter is not a small matter. And pronouns, how they're used, is something that, again, is specifically being emphasized from a worldly mindset, and it doesn't belong in Christianity. It's ridiculous. So, yeah.
Be bold. Be prepared to take an F.
Yeah.
And get an A for with Jesus.
Or drop the class, drop the school, go find yourself a good Christian college.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
Good?
Yep.
All right. Here's my next one. My church has a senior pastor who preaches about once a month. The other 3 weeks are messages brought by an associate pastor and others who are not ordained and not paid. Also, this is a four-square church that has women preaching about 2 Sundays a month. How does that square with the scripture and women not to be preaching? To be honest, the big draw for us to attend this church is that the pastor and congregation are mainly Polynesian and we're more comfortable in that setting. But also, I'm watching your podcast and Jack Hibbs because I'm getting more information and deeper understanding through Pastor Steve and Pastor Jack than I am my own pastor. My pastor is a good man with good intentions, but the messages are light and surfacey because it seems like he's dumbing down the message so the unintelligent Paulies can understand him. Sorry for the lengthy post, but I really need a perspective and information to share with my husband, who at this point says he will never leave this church, but I personally need more. So Pastor Steve, what would you tell this person in that situation?
Okay, number one, well, you know, I don't like the sentence where it says the messages are light and surfacey because it seems like he's dumbing the message down so the unintelligent Paulies can understand him. I don't like that. That is, I don't teach down to people. I expect people to be adults and they can understand biblical concepts. The Bible's written on basically an eighth or ninth grade level. And so people can understand it. You can make it more complicated than it needs to be. And I'm not saying that there's not complicated issues in Scripture. There are, and I think that they need to be explored. But I don't like that kind of approach towards people if that is actually the case. The other thing I want to take away from this in your email here is you're talking about what's happening with your husband. And, you know, the Bible's clear on the fact that you're supposed to be treating him like he's Jesus. And one of the cool things about being a woman is that a lot of times women are way more spiritually in tune than a lot of guys can be. And they have some different motives many times that make it easier for them to receive the Lord and understand spiritual things. And so I think that's good about what you're talking about here, because you do bring up a bunch of good points. And so when you say, for example, how does that square with the Scripture that women should not be preaching? And you're exactly right. That is what it says. And I have been on both ends of that issue. When I was a young Christian, I tried to justify women teaching with all kinds of mental gymnastics, and it didn't take me too long to figure it out. Less than 6 months. It didn't take me too long to figure out that was just something I was getting from the world. And the Bible does actually teach that it's men that are supposed to be preaching from the pulpit. And so that has to do with roles in the church specifically. And also it has to do with roles in marriage specifically. Two areas where God sets up headship under male authority. And one is in the church and the other is in marriage. And so you are absolutely right about that. So it doesn't square with it. And so I, you know, if I had if I came to church and had a lady preaching, and this is just me, I would quietly and politely get up and walk out because I'm a guy and that's not supposed to be happening. So anyway, there's that. Then there's what's happening with your husband. And so you're called to be submissive to him. And you're called to treat him like he's Jesus, like I was saying. And so there needs to be some finesse in handling the situation. And I think that one of the things that you're doing is good. You're going to other sources, and you mentioned me and Pastor Jack, and I think that's all great. So you're going to other sources to get your understanding of what Scripture has to say. And so that's a good thing. I would be praying for your husband. I'd just be going, Jesus, just show the guy. And you get to talk to him. You do get to talk to him. But 1 Peter chapter 3, you know the passage, talks about you can win your husband without a word. And the reason that it says that is because ladies are more verbal than men are. And so ladies talk things out. Men are a lot less verbal. And so one of the things that I would ask you if I was counseling with you is, have you told him your perspective? Have you talked to him about the issues? Does he understand where you're coming from? And I mean, does he understand where you're coming from? Not does he agree with where you're coming from? Because a lot of times people think, well, if they don't agree, they don't really understand. Well, you can disagree and understand. And so does he understand where you're coming from? And if he does, you don't need to talk to him a whole lot more. You just need to live your life before him, walk with Jesus, and when you're having conversations about this stuff, you can bring up what you've learned from another Bible study or things like that. And when he brings up the conversation, you can address stuff. But I would be praying that God gets a hold of this guy and points out that maybe you need to be checking out a different fellowship or be getting some more good teaching from another source. And so that would be my take on this. And the part of the point that I'm making here is I think that understanding things biblically is very important. And I think it's something that God calls us to, but you can do that without wrecking your marriage, because your marriage is way important and God cares about it. And so God can get a hold of this guy. He can turn him around. And so I would trust God with your husband in this situation. So,
all right, we got a bunch coming in, so let's roll this. Next one says, who is the commander of the Lord's army? ? And is it the same person throughout Scripture? Because it comes up many times.
Well, it depends on the context of the passage. Sometimes it's just flat out Jesus. Sometimes it's Michael the Archangel. And so I don't know, there's a passage in Revelation 12 where it specifically talks about Michael the Archangel tossing Satan out of heaven. And in the passage, it says, let's see, war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. And so obviously you see Michael leading the armies of heaven there. He's not specifically called the Lord of commander of the Lord's army. He's not called the Lord of hosts here, or the commander of the Lord's army, but he is leading it, and that's under the authority of God himself. And so when you see the phrase Lord of hosts, that's how I'm familiar with it in Scripture. You are always talking about the Father or the Son. And sometimes it's not clear what's being spoken about, and so it's by context that you're talking. But when you're talking about the armies of the Lord, there are times when you have Michael running the armies of the Lord. But Michael is never called the Lord of hosts. So
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Mike is on here on Facebook, Pastor Steve, and in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 4 through 16. And I want to throw us out there as Steve's turning to that. Mike, we're going to be starting up a podcast. And one of the reasons that we're doing that is specifically for questions like this, where Steve can do a deep dive in a different setting. And so that's coming up. I just want to let you know this would be one of the questions that I would look at. But what Mike says is, rather than only going ahead and fully explaining it quickly, can you please point me to a more in-depth study you may have done regarding the interpretation of 1 Corinthians 11, 4 through 16? And then he says, I believe you've said it is a veil, and so it's not about whether men wear or women wear hats. It seems that finding that explanation is a bit deeper than a typical reasonably answer investigation brings to the surface definitively. I've been distracted by seeing worship folks wearing hats or even wearing them myself in the cold when I exercise outside, since I pray for folks I see during that time. So if it's a hat, I shouldn't have my head covered. If it's a veil, I'm good to go, as I never wear a veil. However, in humility, and then he just goes on, I'm just trying to find an answer, not being legalistic. He quotes a verse in Acts and goes right on. So
yeah. So when you're talking about a hat, there's different cultural norms that you have going down through history. And so for example, when I was a kid, a man would never wear a hat in a room inside.
Yeah.
And so you're a messed up unit. You're walking in here with a hat on. And so men wore hats outside, and when they came inside, they just take them off.
Yeah, the church I started going to first was a Baptist church, mm-hmm. and I would never wear a hat going into that church,
right?
Just because of the tradition behind it.
Yeah, and so it's a cultural thing. That's what's going on here too in the passage, and Paul makes it clear at the end of the passage that he's speaking culturally. Verse 13, he says, "Judge among yourselves: is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a dishonor to him? If a woman has long hair, it's a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems contentious, we have no such custom, neither do the churches of God." And so he's talking about customs in the passage here. And so he makes it clear in the context. And so when you're talking about men being covered, it's really interesting that back in the first century, at least in Greece, men did not cover their heads when they went in to pray, where when you go to Israel nowadays, if you go up to the Western Wall, they give you a kippah. It's a little yarmulke that you put on your head when you go to the Western Wall. You have to cover your head. A man has to cover his head when he goes to the Western Wall. Otherwise, it's considered impolite, dishonoring to the place. And so different places, different times, different customs. And that's specifically what Paul is talking about here. In the passage, his main issue has to do with women walking around unveiled. And that's the big deal, that women are walking around unveiled. So apparently the women had they were feeling freedom in Christ, and so they were getting rid of things that they didn't want to do, and one of them was a veil. The problem was an unveiled woman was someone who was considered to be a prostitute, especially in Corinth. Corinth was basically it wasn't a seaport, but it had two seaports connected with it. It was a port town, and so they had prostitutes everywhere. And that was something that's how prostitutes would advertise, basically. They walked around unveiled. And so that's what Paul's dealing with here. This would be like a lady walks into church dressed like a hooker, is the idea behind it. And I'm talking about to the nines like a hooker. You know, that's what I'm speaking about. And so as far as a more in-depth study of this, whenever I go through 1 Corinthians, and I'm in chapter 11, I go through it in depth. And so you can just get on our website, and you can go to the 1 Corinthians study and go through that. Did you go through in depth when you went through this?
Yeah, I'm sure I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so Matt's got some studies on there that will talk about the same thing.
That's a good point, actually. If you guys download our app, I just want to show you this. You can click on books right there at the top, Old and New Testament. All of Steve's studies are on there. They're categorized for you, and just click on them. I listen to them on double the speed and all the stuff. It's a great resource if you guys don't have our app to get Pastor Steve's studies.
Another thing that you want to get, are we talking to Mike? Is that what he said his name was?
Yes,
okay. Mike, another thing that you might want to get is a good Bible program. And so there's some that are for free online. And so eSword is a good one. You can also go to blueletterbible.com, and there's some resources there that you can pick up so that you can get a little bit more info on like I was talking about with the veil thing and what's actually being addressed in the passage. But a good Bible program is always good, is always a great thing to have, because you can go specifically into how the language was used at the time. So how the word that's used in this passage for covering is used in the first century, and that's where you get this stuff from. So little historical information goes a long way to interpreting a passage.
All right, next one up is Brittany. She's on Facebook, Pastor Steve, and she says, I'm going to throw this out here. Any advice for a new Christian that's left the Mormon church? I've attended a couple times to Calvary, but I'd love to just know where to start. So first of all, congratulations, Brittany. Yeah. Oh, that's very cool. Awesome to see that. What would you tell Brittany, Lord? Well, Lord, too. Lord, speak to Brittany. But Steve, what would you tell Brittany that's just coming out of that?
You know what, Brittany? One of the things that everybody deals with, and especially you're going to deal with because you were brought up in Mormonism, apparently. You know, you knew something about Mormonism. Is that you're going to have to rethink things because Mormons and Christians use the same language, but semantically it's different. And so, for example, when you're talking about salvation and what Jesus did for us on the cross, the Mormons teach that all that Jesus did was get us resurrected. And so I had a Mormon boss that invited me to church, and I went. And they took me to the class for the newbies. And one of the things that there were a couple of missionaries in there, and one of the things that one of the missionaries said was, after all, salvation just means resurrection. And immediately challenged him and said, the words for salvation and resurrection are two different words in Greek. They do not mean the same thing. And so that's what I mean by semantics. And this is something that I had to do too, because I came from a completely non-Christian background when I came into a relationship with Jesus, and I had all kinds of preconceptions about what the Bible taught, what the Bible said about certain things, how heaven went, how hell went, how salvation went. And what I had to do was set those things aside and actually read my Bible and let my Bible speak to me. And so that's the best thing that I could tell you. Going to church is great, And I'm glad you've been coming. I'm glad you're at our fellowship. That's a really good thing. But the best thing that you are going to do is picking up your Bible when you're all by yourself and saying, Jesus, will you please show me what you have for me today? And just going through and starting to read it. Okay. And so where I would suggest that you start is in the book of John. There are books in the Bible that tell you what their purposes are. And John is one of those. And the purpose of the book of John is so that you can understand that Jesus is the Son of God. And so that, and because of that, so that you can be saved. And so it is the gospel that speaks the most about what was happening, you know, who Jesus is here on earth. And so pick up the book of John, go through and start reading it, and just say, Lord, just show me what you want to say to me. And God's going to be faithful to do that. And that's going to be the best thing for you all the way through your walk with the Lord. And so, and I'm not saying that the church isn't good, because it is, but you really want to get this stuff from the Lord himself, and he will speak to you. He'll show you things. It's going to be a good thing, but you're going to have to allow the text itself to speak to you instead of reading into the text. And so I always want my Bible to teach me. I'm not there. I'm not, you know, the Bible needs to judge me. I'm not there to judge it. And so I'll run into passages that I might have a problem with, and I have to adjust my thinking when I run into a problem, you know, to a passage that is problematic for me. I have to adjust my thinking because I'm going to be wrong. And it's going to be the same thing with you. So you pray before you read, and as you're reading your Bible, you go through and you let it actually speak to you. The other thing, you've been coming to church here. We have new believers packets, and basically in those packets, there's one that's a new believer's handbook that goes through and talks about some basic doctrines and what the scripture actually says about a number of things. For example, how do you know that you're saved? What is prayer for? What is baptism for? That kind of stuff. And then there are Bible studies that go through and talk about some of the basics of what it means to be a Christian. You will really like those. And I don't want you to replace your Bible reading with those things, but that will help you out and give you an understanding of what certain things mean in Scripture. So
what Pastor Steve just said is also on our website too, so you can get on there and get that new believers packet from our website.
Yeah.
And then secondly, and I don't know if this will apply for you, Brittany, or help you, but we have a guy who just started a class on Mormonism. It's on Sunday nights here at our church, and so I'm pretty sure you could just jump in. They've been going for like a week or two, and so just throw that out there for an option for you as well. All right, good?
Yep.
All right, here's my next one from YouTube, and the name is Chia Bug, and they say, do you believe that a divorced man or woman can get remarried? I only see a widow or widower for the blood covenant, which most don't observe in our area.
This is what Jesus said. And so this is out of Matthew chapter 19. And it says in verse 3, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. And so in answering their question about divorce, he defines marriage for them.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.